stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40, couple of tight ends, receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30, to the 20, inside the 10. Touchdown!
First down and 10, Johnson. Gets a shoulder square. Watch out! He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown!
Welcome in to episode 31 of Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa, and you can also find me on Discord at KoopaTroopa8. If you have not gone to the South Harmon website, you need to go and check out the Warp Tool and the simulator that we have on there. It's only $6.90 a month. You can go on and sign up for 1 month just to try it out, and I guarantee it will change the way that you play fantasy football. So you go to southharmonff.com and sign up for it. Also, if you are listening to this podcast feed, you may not be aware, but on Tuesday, Mike and Maddie revived the 40 Chess Dynasty podcast. That podcast talks about dynasty strategy and is one of the best podcasts that is out there in the space for figuring out what should I be doing in my leagues. And that is actually part of the inspiration for this episode today. Their episode one, the first thing they talk about is how are we going to deal with these players that are getting injured? When is the right time to sell or buy? And Mike has a strategy of if he is trying to sell, sell immediately. And if he's trying to buy, wait a month. Wait until that other manager is desperate. Wait until they really need to get those points off their team. And while I think that is great, I want to see if the data actually supports that thought. And so that is what I am going to research for this episode. The reason that I wanted to look at this already was because I have been out there buying up as many shares of Rashid Shaheed, Chris Godwin, and Brandon Ayuk as I can. I've been offering below what was market value for them, expecting that I will get some of that value back in a year. Now, for a lot of rebuilding teams, that's fine. Slow value accrual over time, that is what we're looking for. Ideally, we can have faster value accrual, but I'm specifically not sending away draft picks to get any of these players. I am sending away players that I already have on my team who are scoring some points, and I'm able to say, here, take this person, he gives you some points now, and you can worry about the value later. And so I'm trying to sell all my old pieces, all my players who are having better years than expected. Maybe they're backup running backs who are doing better. Think guys like Alexander Mattison. Like, he's somebody that I've sold in a couple places. I've also been trying to sell my Alan Lazards, my Mike Williams, and basically just see what I can do with the players that are already on my team. I'm not trying to send away draft capital because that is flexible. That is something as a rebuilder, I know that that is going to be worth way more in 6 months from now compared to what it is right now. And so that I'm being very careful not to send away. The only time I've sent that away is in a couple leagues where I'm sending away third round picks in order to get the deal done. And it's a league where the third round picks aren't valuable. Think your lineup leagues where, yeah, it's nice to have a third round pick, but it's a 25 third. Am I really going to actually use that pick when I am not competing right now? No. So if it allows me to get a deal done, to get a player who actually matters, like a Brandon Ayuk, then that is a worthwhile usage of that pick. I don't need to save it for the draft in May and then try to find a way to roll it into a future third or something like that. But going back to what Mike said, Mike's hypothesis is that when the injury immediately happens, the player has more value because people are remembering, hey, this is what they were doing and they were doing really, really well. Think a guy like Chris Godwin. They were doing really well, so I can buy them at a slightly depressed value, and they will go back to that. If you think about before the injury, Chris Godwin, you needed to pay a first to get him. I know that firsthand because I did that in one of my leagues, and then I immediately got burned with him unfortunately getting hurt and being out for the year. But I also know that Chris Godwin is not going to come back necessarily to that same value, and he probably won't ever get back even close unless he has similar levels of production. And him being a free agent, like, it's hard to believe that he can even get back to that same level of production in future years. So, for me, that value is a lot less. But I'm still sending out those offers, I'm still getting the trades done now, rather than waiting the month like Mike says that he wants to do. He's fine sending out really low ball offers, and then waiting for 4 weeks to see if that manager becomes desperate enough to accept his low balls. Whereas I am thinking, okay, this value, it gets depressed now, and nobody wants them, but I can try to recoup that value, say, when September comes around next year, and they're back on the field and they're playing. So I decided to go back in the past, use some keep trade cut data, and figure out what happened to the value of players who get out for the season early in the year and late in the year, and how does that affect their value over time? So the first player that I'm going to look at is DJ Chark. DJ Chark, wide receiver, who had a value on keep trade cut of 2,200 to 2,300 at the beginning of the 2022 season. He ends up being placed on IR on October 22nd of 2022, and his value immediately starts decreasing rapidly. Before this point, it already was decreasing because he was not doing well slash not playing, but he was not placed on IR until October 22nd. When he was placed on IR, his value shoots down almost immediately to the point where he's valued down in the 1400 range. Now, what's interesting about all that is that happens not for another about 2 weeks later. So it's already starting to look like Mike's idea of waiting a little bit makes sense, because the value that he had on, say, October 25th is still decently high, but I can see it level out for a couple days, looking like probably the weekend that that games are going on that following week. It kind of levels out at the 1600 range, and then it shoots back down again the following week, and then that's where it's hitting that 1400 number. So you have kind of a little bit of a delay where, yeah, there is an initial drop, but then there's another drop a week after. But then what's interesting is that the value starts to come back up. And when we hit right around Thanksgiving, the value is back at what it was at 1 week afterwards. And I have some guesses as to why that might be, and we'll have to see if this gets confirmed with other players. My guess is that the value comes back up around Thanksgiving, because that's when a lot of trade deadlines are. And that's when a lot of teams are deciding whether they want to compete or not compete. And when you have teams deciding whether they're going to compete or not compete, that can help drive up some value for these players that are out for the season. That can help drive up the value for, okay, well, you know what? I'm trying to tank, so I'll take on the DJ Chark that is not going to play at all this year and will be playing next year and be healthy and all that. So that's what I was thinking was happening. And so to confirm or refute this, I decided to look at Javonte Williams. Javonte Williams, in the middle of the season, I think it was in early October of 2022, he tears his ACL. And what I expect to see is that he shoots down really fast, and then he comes back up around the Thanksgiving time. And what I end up finding is that that doesn't happen. So he shoots down near immediately, right down from where he was at was around 6,300 points on keep trade cut, and he goes down to 4,800. And he kind of just settles there. But that 4,800, notably, comes a week after that initial drop. That initial drop goes to 5,000, and then it's to the 4800. And it just maintains right in that 4800 range all the way throughout most of the season until at the end of the season, once you get to like late December, early January, is when it finally gets back up to about that 5000 number. And so you have little ups and downs in there in between, but I think those are just more of just like data changes as opposed to anything substantially changing in the market. And so what we see is that perfect lull point is about 2 weeks after the injury yet again. But we don't see that rise in Thanksgiving that is really noticeable. It's more of just part of that leveling out over the course of the rest of the season. So now I have this idea of, okay, it takes 2 weeks after the injury in order to see when that is actually going to come into effect. And I want to see, does that happen with another player? So the next player that I pulled up is Trey Lance. Trey Lance, in week two of the 2022 season, he fractures his ankle. He's out for the year. What I expect to see here is that his value goes from where it was at pre-injury, which was around 5,500 points, to down to a number, and then it settles into a new number 2 weeks later. But instead, that's not what happens. We actually see that his value settles down from the 5,500 to 6,000 range that it was at beforehand, and instead settles in at the 4,400 to 4,500 range almost immediately. In fact, over the course of the season, the value slowly rises until it gets all the way to around Christmas time in December when it's at 4,900 points. So his value just steadily increases slowly and slowly over the course of the season, even while you're starting to see the first signs of Jimmy Garoppolo was doing great. And then this is when Brock Purdy steps in and when Brock Purdy does really well. And then it's not until Brock Purdy is leading the 49ers on that playoff run that Trey Lance's value actually starts to fall. And it doesn't even fall that much. It only falls back down to that 4,500, which is where Trey Lance was as soon as he took that injury at the beginning of the season. So what I am seeing off of all of this is that it's not a given that the value is going to change and continue to fall over the course of the season. Pretty quickly, we know that the value of players is going to fall. And sometimes it takes us a little bit to get there. It might take us 1 to 2 weeks, but we eventually get to that point of understanding of, yeah, this is what it's going to be. And it's not a month, month and a half later that the actual value of what a player is worth is going to change. What can change is league dynamics. Like if that team finds themselves all of a sudden at the point of, man, I need to sell this player. But if you're the person trying to lowball and force them to trade you that player at an extremely low price, the rest of your league is going to understand what the value of that player is, and they might be taking that player out from under you. So, but in all of these cases, the players never came back to their original value. When I'm talking about DJ Chark, he never came back up to his initial value. Javonte Williams never came back up to his initial value. Looking at some more recent examples, TJ Hockenson, he's never come back up to his initial value. Chris Godwin tore his ACL at the end of 2021. He never came back up to his initial value. Trey Lance obviously never came back up to his initial value. The only player that I found that took a season-ending injury and was able to come back to their prior level of value was Breece Hall. My guess is it's because he was so young, but it also took him 2 years to get back there. If you look at his keep trade cut value, where he was before his ACL in 2022, in the entire 2023 season, he never once reached the value that he was at in 2022. As a result, my analysis of this says that even just buying players after the injuries is risky. That not only do you not want to buy them at the market value of what people value them for, you want to buy them at even less value. They are not scoring points. Even if they come back the following season and are scoring points, you aren't getting a value increase. So there wouldn't be a point in getting those players. The optimal players to have are to have ones that are either draft picks, because those will actually grow in value in the offseason, or that you just get good players. And sure, you can try and buy into these players in August and September of the following year, and you can be like, yeah, we aren't thinking about them as strongly because they missed a bunch of the season. So what does this mean for me? This means that this past week, Stephon Diggs has gone down. I'm not out there actively trying to buy him like I was Rashid Shaheed, Chris Godwin, or Brandon Ayuk. I'm going to send real lowball offers. I'll give you a third for your Stephon Diggs, because I think that's a valuable risk for me to take. But am I going to send a second for Stephon Diggs? No. Am I going to send players that only have a window this year, like Alexander Mattison? Yes. But not many people are valuing him more than a third anyway. And so when you start looking at these kinds of things, when you're looking at, okay, this player has gone down with injury, what is the actual value that I should be trying to send them for, to get out of them? You need to understand that a lot of your league mates are overvaluing the player. And it might seem like a low ball compared to what they were just worth. I know that I have Chris Godwin in quite a few leagues where I'm going, man, I need to get off this Chris Godwin because I'm competing. I need to get another player. But Chris Godwin might as well be pretty close to a dead asset at this point. Like, if you can get a second or a second of value out of him, that's great. Because the chance that he ends up ever becoming worth more than that is so slim. He needs to come back to the value that he is at now by producing the amount that he's at now. And he was producing like crazy. We don't expect him to produce like that one more year into his career. He's an old player. And even if he's producing well, if he's producing, say, like high-end wide receiver 2, low-end wide receiver 1 numbers, he's not a top 6 wide receiver. He's not the guy that is absolutely breaking fantasy leagues, and so he's not going to command that value. It is, as a 29-year-old, in order to be worth a first, he needed to be having that kind of production on the field. And the chance that that happens again is so slim. And so if realistically, he's probably worth a second. If he's a wide receiver 2 at age 30, like, cool. That's somebody that you can go out and buy for a second. Maybe you have to give a third as an extra kicker in order to get the deal done. But if you're buying Chris Godwin for a second right now, like I was doing, then you aren't getting any bonus. You're just taking on all this risk and hoping that he turns back to wide receiver 2 numbers. He's a free agent. He could go somewhere else. They could not use him in the same way. And he ends up having what he had in previous seasons when he wasn't playing out of the slot, when he was not a useful wide receiver on your team. And so those are the kinds of decisions that we need to be making and that we need to understand that that we need to do for our fantasy teams. So we want to try and get off of these players. We want to try and sell them. If you are stuck on them already because you have a rebuilding squad, then fine, sit on them. But if you are a competitor, it's not like the value that you have in a year is going to be any different than you have now. So you might as well sell, get you some of those points now, so that way you can continue and try compete for that championship this year. That's it for the main topic, and so now I'm going to go into the two final segments that I've been going through every week. The first one is the number of players that are rostered on each team. For this week, the number of quarterbacks, technically the rounded value has gone up by 1, but it went up by 0.1 from last week. So the difference is almost nothing. And I'm just going to kind of chalk that up to a little bit of just a slight rounding error week to week. Running back, it has gone down by one. We've gone down to 98. We were at 99, and we were at 100 the week before that. So we are seeing people drop a lot of running backs at this point in the year. I know I have done a similar thing with some of these bye weeks hitting, and in combination with a lot of these wide receiver injuries, I wanted to try to speculate on some wide receivers and not have as many of these running backs that I would need to speculate really hard on. And you see that a lot of other people are thinking the same way. Wide receiver has gone up by 2 to 138, probably mostly driven by all these injuries that are happening to the wide receiver position. Now, this week we have all the Houston wide receivers that everyone is trying to get because Stephon Diggs went down. And the tight end number, it is still staying solid at 52. So tight ends, it seems to be pretty solidly just sitting right there, and it's not moving up or down. And I expect it to stay that way over the course of the season. When the league type that I'm looking at here only needs to start one tight end, there's not a reason to have many other tight ends unless we start to see an explosion out of these backup tight ends or a rash of tight end injuries. And finally, the tight ends don't matter segment. Last week, I chose Will Dissly and had 5 receptions for 41 yards. We got another great week out of Will Dissly, but we have some worries. He picked up an injury this past week. In addition to picking up an injury, Hayden Hurst is due to come back. And so that will probably affect the amount that he's on the field and the number of targets that he would receive. Hayden Hurst is more of a pass catcher than Will Dissly is. And so I fully expect that Hayden Hurst is going to eat into some of those numbers. So who are my other options? My other options are the Broncos trio of Adam Trautman, Nate Adkins, and Lucas Kroll. In addition to Will Dissly, A, fighting an injury, and B, having a Hayden Hurst come back and potentially steal targets from him, he's also going against the Cleveland Browns defense. It is not a good matchup for tight ends. It's been the 7th hardest over the course of this season. The Broncos tight ends, they're going against Baltimore, which has been one of the best matchups against tight ends this year. So looking at this, I'm going to go with one of the Broncos tight ends. The problem is you need to choose which one. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to rely on the hot hand. I'm going to say Adam Trautman because he's been having the most snaps the past 2 weeks. And this past week, he got 4 receptions for 85 yards and a touchdown. Yes, it was on the touchdown was on a big play, but I like seeing the fact that he had 4 targets this past week and 3 targets the week before. Even if the week before he did not get he did not catch any of those receptions. But going back to the previous weeks where he had greater than 50% snap share, he was always getting at least one target in a game where he had over 50% snap share. So I'm going to rely on Adam Trautman this coming week, and I'm going to hope that the Broncos like what he's been doing and that he's on the field as much as he has been the past few weeks. With that, that's everything that I have for you this week. If you have not already, go to the South Harmon website, southharmonff.com. Sign up for that Warp Tool and Simulator. I'm sure I'm going to be talking about it more, and I'm sure Mike and Maddie will be talking about it a lot on the 40 Chess podcast as well. And if you have any questions, reach out to me on X at Dynasty Koopa or on Discord at KoopaTroopa8. I respond to everybody that messages me, so don't hesitate to ask a question, no matter how big or small it might be. And as always, make sure you're going out there and you stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.